Welcome back to the This Week programme. In the last few hours, Moscow has said genetic tests confirmed that Yevgeny Prigozhin, leader of the Wagner mercenary group, was among the 10 people killed in Wednesday's air crash north of Moscow. The final moments of the private jet falling from the skies were captured on camera. Well, let's hear from Diana Magnay, who's Moscow correspondent with Sky News. And Diana, thanks for joining us. Does this essentially end 4 days of speculation that Yevgeny Prigozhin was on this plane?
Officially, yes. But my sense was on day two that this probably was indeed Prigozhin. And, you know, now we have the results of the investigative committee's genetic testing. I mean, you could never be 100% sure what Russian officials tell you, but my hunch is that at this stage, it was Prigozhin on board. And the extraordinary thing, though, is that he was traveling with his entire top command. It was him, his deputy, Dmitry Utkin, who is this sort of particularly unsavory right-wing character, after whom the group was called Wagner, because he loved the composer, and the security and logistics chief, Valery Shakalov. Now, normally Prigozhin would have, you know, he used body doubles. He was very careful about not necessarily flying with, you know, the whole ranks of Wagner's top command. So it is strange that they felt secure enough to take that flight, all of them together.
And is that,
but I do think it is him.
Is that a question that people are now asking as to how did the whole, if you like, top command of Wagner end up on one small aircraft that seems to have been downed by a missile?
We don't know if it was a missile, and yes, it is strange. We don't have the answers to why they decided all to fly together. There's speculation that it could have been a missile, that it could have been something that was placed on board. I think the latest, unnamed U.S. intelligence officials reporting to the likes of the New York Times have been saying that they think it was a device placed on the plane, and that is certainly also the theory that most of the Russian papers are going with at the moment. Quite interesting reporting from one of the pro-Kremlin tabloids that two people boarded the plane a couple of hours before it was about to take off. And there's a suggestion that it was about replacing a part, and they'd managed to substitute the turbo cooler for a bomb. But I mean, all of this is still rumours, and I'm not sure that we can really put much faith in the outcome of the investigative committee's final report, because what Russia tends to do with things like this is do long, drawn-out investigations that, in the end, are completely unsatisfactory.
How is the news of Mr. Prigozhin's demise since Wednesday, since the downing of that private jet, how has it been received in Russia?
Well, I think amongst the ultra-nationalists, of which he was, you know, the pioneer, really, there is a lot of agitation and talk of traitors and how this could have happened. Amongst the bulk of the people, I think there's just a sort of degree of resignation and understanding that this is just the way Russia works. And also, this is a people who've basically been told for a very, very long time to keep their noses out of politics and try and get on with their own lives. And and they do. The question really is, amongst the elites, how do they feel about this? I don't think anyone is going to be particularly surprised. I think they understand the nature of the state, that it's incredibly brutal, and the lesson is clear. You know, don't stand up against the Kremlin or no good will come to you. So I imagine there is disquiet, certainly amongst the elites.
Briefly, Mr. Putin has called on Mr. Prigozhin's mercenary soldiers to rejoin the fold, if you like, of Russia. That presumably is inevitable. It seems inevitable that Wagner is over as a mercenary force in and of its own right. Or is it?
I think it is. And over the last few weeks, we've seen Russian military intelligence and essentially Russia's defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, try and squeeze out Wagner from its African contracts. Now everybody has had to, all soldiers have had to sign an oath of allegiance. This was an order published by Putin on Friday night that they have to serve an oath of allegiance to the Russian state. There are some Wagner fighters still in Belarus, and Alexander Lukashenko, the Belarusian leader, says that they're welcome to stay. The question is who funds them there. But I think essentially there has been a lot of work done since the mutiny in June to try and disband Wagner and minimize it. And that will continue. Effectively, it is over. And the Ministry of Defense has created its own mercenary groups, contract groups of prisoners also. It wasn't just Wagner who recruited prisoners, but the Ministry of Defense has too. And I think they'll be subsumed into those operations too. But the question is whether a lot of those people who did support Prigozhin, not just in his troops, but also amongst the rank and file of the army, how they feel about this, given the fact that they have sacrificed a lot, and then this is what happens to their leader.
Diana Magne, Moscow correspondent with Sky News, thank you for joining us this lunchtime.